So here's the problem with this topic, and we've said it so much. I want it to sink in because I want us to get it, us to realize the problem with the fool and how that exists in our lives is because we've normalized it so much. We've allowed it, in many cases, to be people we actually respect. Certain, and one way we get that is because we're looking at human outcomes, desired outcomes. We're not looking at what God says. And the more this has grown, we've invited them into churches, we've invited them into our homes, we've gotten into relationships with them, and then slowly, in many cases, we've become that. And he gives us everything we need. I mean, he just fills us with what a fool is, but we seem to hold on to it instead of going, wait a minute, am I being a fool? So we're going to continue on that, but let's start a review real quick. Remember, the Bible not only provides us with what we need to protect us from others and for us to help others, but for us to first check us and help us first. I got to know where I'm at in the Lord. He gives me everything I need to do that. We have to realize we are never to label somebody a fool. One, because you're going to distort the view of it. We don't know. You hear people calling people fools all the time, and it's based on their minds, and now it confuses it. And the reason why that's so necessary also is because fools are going to hell. All right? Please don't be that person that go, well, everybody plays the fool. That's the song. So you know what I mean? You don't get caught up in what the world says. When God says, do not be this, and I am a fool, I've set myself up. Either you're a fool or you're wise. That's it. That's the two. Okay, so please know that. However, even though I'm not to call anybody a fool, I must know what a fool is. When the Bible tells me things like stay away from a foolish man, do not speak to a fool, all of those things come into play. In order for that to work, I have to know what that is. In a nutshell, the fool in their foolishness, very dangerous. Fool's purpose is to display their disbelief in God. They don't realize that, but because they're a fool, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see them pushing God away, adding their own things to it. And we have to redirect them from their foolishness. So you don't play the game by their rules. You have to recognize, wait a minute, this is a fool. Please make sure it's defined by God before you say that about somebody. So what defines a fool and their foolishness? Focusing on their perception, and they become angry when you do not. You'll hear them kind of push their agenda, and they get mad when you're not getting what they think. You understand? They follow self-wisdom. You understand that? That's why he tells us to get rid of the standards, wisdom by the standards of this world, because that's self-wisdom, and the world will accept it as wise. I got to know God's wisdom. True wisdom only comes from God. Fools live in fairy tales as if it's reality. You'll hear them talk about themselves and talk about situations, and you're sitting there going, are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? They work harder, not smarter. They provoke instead of speaking knowledge. When you see them pushing, angry, kind of jabbing at you, talking over you, always joking when things are serious, that's more foolish. Yelling and over-talking instead of quality conversations. Fools are easily swayed because they believe anything. Anything. You know what I mean? They're a con man's dream. Fools do not assess situations and pay for it. Fools look at the outcome they see and not what God says. That's what's hurtful about fools, because they see it and they go, it worked. And like I said, I tell many people, what do you mean it worked? Was your outcome to please God, or was your outcome a desired outcome? If your outcome that you're aiming for is a desired outcome, that's foolish. Please get that. Okay? It says his stupidity will be evident, but because we've normalized it so much, it's not as evident to us. Unfortunately, we have normalized stupid by trusting in self and trusting in man. Proverbs 28 and Proverbs 146. Proverbs 28 told us, he who trusts in himself is a fool. Think about that. A lot of times we go with our gut. Well, I'm okay with that. Well, I feel I have no problem with that. Does that make it right or wrong? But it says, he who walks in wisdom. So me trusting myself is opposite of me being wise. I'm kept safe when I'm always checking with God. And then he says, do not put your trust in princes or mortal men who cannot save. Fools live in complacency. They just kind of ignore things, not realizing we have a responsibility. For the fool, things concerning God will not be based on God. You'll hear them make up some stuff, and you're like, where did you get that from? Fools strive for fleshly comfort instead of uncomfortable wisdom. The advice may sound good, but is toxic. That's why you have to check it through God. Spreading of slander. They love to talk about people for hateful reasons. Remember, slander is not just a lie. It's even when I tell the truth. But what was my purpose for saying? What was my purpose? Do not mistake slander for needed warnings. Because sometimes when you talk about people, it's because you got to warn them about that. You know what I mean? There's something coming, and you got to be aware of that. That is something we're responsible for doing. But when you just say something bad about somebody, even though you made it up or something you heard, whatever it is, what was your reasoning behind it? They'll find pleasure in the evil instead of wisdom. Okay. And fools do not learn from discipline. So if you raise your child the right way, it's following what God says. Please don't measure it on how they turned out. Now, in many cases, if I raised them wrong, I may have contributed to how they turned out. And I know in this day and age, because we stop using God as our guide to raise our children, that may be so. Not controlling their tongue. You'll hear them say things. They're always apologizing for what they said. Always. You know what I mean? Instead of they pause, they think about it. Christians know there is one truth, while a fool will use many resources to support their claims. That's why I tell you, Christians, please be careful. The only thing you need for a godly walk is the Bible. That's it. There are other books that are interesting. So if those books just help you with the Bible, you're good. That's wisdom. The minute you add any other books, you're heading into foolishness. Because remember, you just need a bit of it to corrupt it. Fool's claims will be unsubstantiated. And it's something that we're going to eventually see. God's going to reveal it to all of us. And then we ended it with fools are led by what they think is more than truth. They'll do those in which they're examining something, and even though it clearly says this in the Bible, they'll overstep. They'll run ahead, if you will. And we're not supposed to do any of those. Okay, so now, the other thing you can watch with fools, and I hate to say it, it's another common practice, is they are emotionally driven. Now, please don't mistake any of these with how you feel. I have to keep giving that as a disclaimer, because we're still in a world in this time and age where we measure ourselves by our feelings. So if I feel mad, I think I'm mad. However, if I'm one that follows how I feel, then yes, we're talking about you. Do you understand that? So the feeling is a desire. How you feel is a desire. If I go with it, I'm the fool. You understand? If I recognize it and act in a way to defend myself from it by beating my body, taking my thoughts captive, then I could be used more by God, and I'm more on the wise side. But you'll know a fool. Proverbs 29:11 says a fool gives full vent. I know I said it. That's my wife teasing me because my fool sounds like fool. But y'all know what I'm saying. So anyway, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Think about that, okay? You ever see somebody once they're irritated or angry, that's it. Now, their whole demeanor, everything about them, and they're just irritated. And man, by the end of the day, you're still mad. I'm sorry. That's foolish. I'm sorry. I'm not saying you may feel that way for a week, but your actions are going to go, I'm not over this. Do you understand that? You don't allow, and that's why in the verse it says, in your anger, do not sin. You are not to, as a Christian, as a wise person, to give your anger any emotion where it's guiding you. Okay, you understood it affected you, but you're still in godly control. You understand that? It says, but a wise man keeps himself under control. If you have that person that you're walking on eggshells with, are they a Christian or are they a fool? And I'm sorry, if you're walking on eggshells because they snap at everything or they snap at whatever, there's nobody can say, well, I was right because they irritate me. I'm sorry, that's a fool. No, meaningless. Get rid of that. That should be something we shouldn't have. Proverbs 14:16-18 says, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil. Okay, now remember in Proverbs 5, where it tells you, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear God and shun evil. What does that mean? You won't really get away from true evil unless you truly fear God, because a ton of stuff that we're calling evil today is meaningless. And a ton of stuff that we're accepting is downright evil, and we've accepted it in our lives. Why? Because we don't fear God. Pastor, what do you mean? If I would just check his word on what true evil is and really show my reverence towards it and how I'm taking it serious, you'll see what's really evil and you'll avoid that. You'll know what it is, right? But that's the wise man who does that. A fool is hot-headed and reckless. Once again, going back to that venting of anger, and they'll just do stuff. They just react. They're emotionally, they're ones that always have to make a comeback going, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. You understand? If they do that, you know what I mean? But they're going off of just reacting. Going off of reacting. I remember years ago when somebody made, there was a guy who was a leader. And I remember their response was he made a decision. They were like, yes, like a leader, man, that makes a decision. Now, his decisions were dead wrong. And they put the thing that they were leading in more danger. But so that person wasn't just a fool. The people that were rooting for him, the things that they were telling the person of, just make a decision. That's what I like. You understand that? And we don't realize how stupid that is based on the Bible, right? But a wise man checks, meditates, has questions. They want to know before they make that decision. That's wisdom. They think about it before they shoot it out there. And then you see a quick-tempered man does foolish things, always coming back to that anger, all right? Please don't say, see, I was born with the fact of my dad had a temper, and when I was younger, they used to feel like they were complimenting me on that, say, you have your dad's temper, until one time I said something to somebody, and I remember it just stuck with me, and even though I said sorry, and they said it's okay, it stuck with me. I can't believe I allowed my anger to say that to that person. Ever since then, that quote-unquote temper I have, I was able to dial it back to where I can't say it's non-existent, but it's something that I have to stay focused on in the Lord. And then especially when I became a Christian, I was able to do it in him by focusing on Christ. But it's the thing we have to recognize that when you watch them react out of anger or that emotion, that's a fool when they do foolish things. And a crafty man is hated. And what they mean by that when it says a crafty man, a man who always thinks up wrong ways or deception or do stuff to get over on things, you have to watch them. The simple inherit folly. Simply put, if you're simple, which is also a fool, you're going to get what you lived for. You're going to receive it. Right now, you may think, man, I'm doing good, but you're headed for a disaster. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The more simple I am, the more I get into dumb stuff and I can't recognize I'm in dumb stuff and it just gets worse. But a prudent man will grow in his knowledge. He'll recognize, won't get, because there's a lot of stuff going on today which people are following and they truly think it's wise. And you don't have far to go than to go in his word and go, well, this is stupid. What are we doing? And you wouldn't get into a debate with anybody because if they're a fool, they're going to give you sight and not what God said. Fools gain wealth through wrong paths. Know what a person's getting into. Instead of you just going, wow, that person is rich, ask the question of what did they do? Watch certain businesses. When the business actually is fearing God, working hard, treats their workers well, I'm talking about things that the Bible says. And that's a wise man. Very rare. Because you'll have people saying you can't be successful unless you blah, blah, blah. But the minute you see them using deception, I'm blaming other people, stealing, you know, in many cases, not keeping honor in contracts and things like that. That's what's happening. So Jeremiah 17:11 says, like a partridge that hatches eggs, it did not lay, is the man who gains riches by unjust means. There's a bird out there, and I don't know what kind of bird it is notorious for taking its egg and giving it to other birds to take care of it, to hatch it. And like he said, the partridge is one of those birds that will actually do that. You mean he can't turn around and see that there's this mixed colored egg with all the rest of his eggs. And then when the bird is hatched, still don't know, you do know that's not another partridge. And they're saying that's what a fool does to gain riches. In other words, it's an unjust mean. And they're talking about the other birds, like a partridge that hatches eggs that did not lay is the man who gains riches by unjust means. So when you really look at the stock market, when you look at certain things we do, when you look at businesses, and this is why I even tell you as a worker, The Bible really puts us in a position to where we are to understand work as this. I provide a service, you pay me for my service. But I'm sure some of you have worked for companies that, you know, your family, we're here to take care of you, we love you, all or most of the time, nonsense. They're trying to lure you in to do more that they may gain more. And right now, majority of people in the jobs that they're doing are very underpaid for what money is being made by it. And one thing I used to always, it shook me is when you watch people in sports, you would hear people say, and you were conned into saying this, those players make too much money. Now, based on a lot of money, you're absolutely right. But they're the ones out there doing it. How come nobody ever said owners are making too much money? The executives and those teams are making too much money. I mean, they just finally started giving college players money in one way or the other. And I'm not saying it's always the wisest thing, but why were these colleges making tons of money and then when the colleges would raise their prices again? Why did we never call that foolish? And the big part of that, that's the American way. So is our country wise or is our country foolish? We don't take that stuff into consideration. And if we don't, it says when his life is half gone, they will desert him. And in the end, he will prove to be a fool. You understand that? It's when we make these decisions and we don't do it through God, we're going to miss out on all of them. You understand? We're going to miss out on what we're supposed to gain out of these things. So if I'm living for the wrong purpose, I'm in the foolish end of that, if you will. Now, fools' foolishness will be their demise. When he says in Proverbs 1:32-33, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them. You seeing that? So he's, if I am a fool, that's what's going to destroy me. And not just kill me, you know, the one death, it's going to send me to hell. All right? Because we cling on to things. If we really look at our lives and the things that makes us fools, there are certain things we value instead of going, what am I doing? Do you understand that? There's certain things we do. And that's why certain groups, traditions, politics, things that I cling on to, that's going to be my foolishness, right? I insist on it being the thing that keeps me strong, while it's going to be the thing that destroys me. And it says, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Because fools become relaxed in the mindset of, well, it's not harming me, you know, it's not bothering me. And when you see somebody doesn't assess the situation and then check with God on what am I supposed to do, but they just kind of bypass and don't care and ignore, Christians are supposed to make a mark. We're supposed to be a light, but we're not doing that. We still keep allowing how we see it and not what God says. And it's just getting in the way. That's going to be the thing that destroys us. Matthew 25, why is that not preached on? Because it's telling us the responsibility, the people in jail, the people in the hospitals, the people who are hungry. It says, and if you remember the end of that passage, it tells you the ones who don't are going to hell. And he makes that very clear in that. But we don't preach that. Why don't we? Because we're like, oh, it's grace. And you don't have to do anything. And he's very clear. The ones who are not doing this, right? And that's complacency. For many cases, we're not looking how to do it, or we do it our own way. All of these things are complacency. All right. So be careful, because that's going to be destruction if we allow it. But whoever, watch this, listens to me. And of course, in the proverb, Solomon being led by God. So in other words, getting the word of God, live in safety, be at ease without fear of harm. Now, watch what he's saying. First, they'll live in safety, because remember, we don't even fear death. Christians don't. Christians understand, as long as I'm living in the Lord, even in death, I'm blessed, right? It says, be at ease. You hear me say it, and it's not from me, it's from the Bible. This is another one of those verses that show us depression, anxiety, all of those things that shake us up exist in the flesh, but it doesn't bother a Christian. Christians don't worry. Now, you may say, but I worry all the time if I give in to that emotion. Right? I have feelings of worry, but now if I give in to those, my actions will show it and what it'll do to me. You understand that, okay? But they'll be at ease because they're still listening to God and without fear of harm. What it didn't say is they will not be harmed. They're not fearful of harm. Why? Because the harm can't do anything to me, right? Christians understand, don't fear man who can destroy the body, but fear God who can destroy the body and the soul. right? If they kill me, at least I'm going to be with God. And that's the mindset we have to have. But that's the person who's listening to God. But once again, waywardness, when I'm making up my own rules, watch a fool. They'll have the Bible and I know you're probably like, but everybody's doing that. Is that what's happening? So we have a major problem. And that's why it's called terrible times, because you see a lot of mixture out there. You know what I mean? And complacency. So here are the risks of a fool and foolishness. Okay, so pay close attention, because if I'm in that mode, first of all, it puts my Christianity into question, and these are things that I'm aiming for. Now, first of all, let's make it clear. Wisdom from God is the remedy to foolishness. Only true wisdom is wisdom from God. That's why he says, if you're at any other type of wise, that's going to be by the standards of this world, he said, become a fool in order to become wise. He's saying totally eliminate that wisdom you think you have. Many of us can't let go of that. Right? Intellectuals, man, they really set themselves up because they think they're brilliant and they have things figured out. A lot of us love to have that, I figured this out, right? I'm glad I'm so confused, because it allows me to just look to what he says. I sit here and depend on Keith, we're all in trouble. You understand that? And it gave me that mindset of, I just have to take what he says. If I was back in a time where I thought I had to use intellect, not only would I give you his word, I'd overdo it. I'd underdo it, because I'm giving too much. And that's why it says in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. So anything I say, I better be able to prove by his word, not by some action, not by some book somebody else wrote. It says, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So not only will I know how to do something, I'll know that's something I need to do, and I'll get clarity on how to do it and what I need to know, how far I need to know it. Fool's words lead to destruction. So now, if I'm getting advice from a person, that's not godly wise. If I'm getting guidance from a person, that's not godly wise. If I'm listening to, without checking, somebody who's ministering to me, and it doesn't come from the word, I'm in trouble. Because he shows in Proverbs 10:14, wise men store up knowledge. They'll know it. My memory's shot. You understand that? I know that, okay? However, I know the word of God. But it was something I had to know. I'm not no brilliant person. It's not some extra thing with me. It stuck with me, but I have to know this. I say, if I forget everything else, I have to know this. Those other things are additives in life. This thing is my life, okay? So wise men, they store up knowledge. I want to know the word, and not just know it. I want to have a relationship with them. And it says, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. They'll say something to prove their point, sound wise, to start, you know, debates and arguments. Be careful. They will destroy you. They will destroy you. They like to hear their own selves talk. And unfortunately, if I'm complacent, if I'm not trusting in God, I'll hear them and go, amen. And there's a lot of people, even from religious organizations, that are running around doing things because their pastor said, or because some minister said. You better check everybody. And I hope you're always checking me. I'm just an instrument. But what if one day I go, you understand that? And he gives us what our protection is. But do we use that? Fools, love speaking nonsense. Proverbs 15:2 says the tongue of the wise commends knowledge. You'll see the difference in a person that really wants to gain knowledge versus the person who wants to give their answer. Big difference, okay? When the person who wants knowledge is always reaching for what the word has to give. But it says, but the mouth of a fool gushes folly. There are a lot of things by human ears, they may sound profound, but are, man, they are ridiculously foolish. You know what I mean? And because they didn't get that knowledge, they're not pursuing godly knowledge. Now, this also goes for people who get any type of knowledge that they're going to lean upon outside, because it's from the world. That's why he told me, if I get wisdom and it's based on the world, get rid of it. But if I'm getting a whole lot of wisdom from the world, you see, even when I'm putting the sermons together, I have to be careful, because I know there are some that will use like the internet and Google, and they're going to give you an answer. You know what I mean? Especially with the AIs that are out there, they'll give you an answer. And I remember I looked at a couple of things that would come out there, and the way it would answer it would kind of use the Bible, and then it would throw this profound sounding nonsense in there. But a person wouldn't be able to get that because it's giving you this answer with full of things, and they'll throw some scripture in there, and it's very misleading. It's very, very misleading. Because remember, it gets its information from a flawed book or a flawed area of all this other flawed information. If we had an AI that was just connected to the Bible, it still would have a problem because remember, this is spiritually discerned. You can't make an AI godly. Keep that in mind. Okay? And it goes on to show us that nothing is gained from a fool. And I'm saying this because sometimes we see people, and if I don't know how to tell the ones I'm going to benefit from, I'm going to end up listening to them. We buy a whole lot of books from these people. There's a big guy, he's been around for ages. I guess his name is Tony Robbins or whatever. And he's wrote books on people getting rich. And very few have gotten rich from that way, but they still buy his book. And he just knows how to make you think you get rich. I mean, people have these telethons and things like that every year, and we still keep giving money. The reason why the lotteries end up the way they do is because we go broke trying to be rich. We don't understand. Are you truly listening to God? Or are you looking at this person that has a quick get rich quick scheme? When it says in Proverbs 15:7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, so you're really going to grow, you're going to get something, you're going to see it really grow as time goes on. It says, not so the hearts of fools. Remember, their purpose is going to be that item that comes out this year that says it's going to solve all your problems, and then it's going to be gone next year. Right? Or they'll get a new and improved thing that was supposed to solve all your problems. And we keep going for it. And they're garbage, and these books are misleading you. And some of them even come from church people that are using the church. And I really think they're in a lot of danger. God does not take messing with his word lightly, but they'll give you a book one year, and then next year the book is adjusted or changed, especially those that are saying philosophy, because they're acting out foolishly. You understand? So please know that, right? You know, the lips of knowledge will be able to show you it and soundly in God's word. Fools, not so much. Okay? And if you depend on fools, you will have worthless outcomes. So you'll have outcomes, and if you don't know the difference, they'll be worthless, and you'll value them. Proverbs 26, 6 through 11 says, like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence. What does that mean, cutting off one's feet? So in other words, the thing that gets me from here to there is my feet, and I still need to get here from there, so I cut off my feet. What am I doing? All right? Or drinking violence. In other words, my first thing I'm thinking of, I hope somebody says something so I can. In other words, you have those people that are looking for a fight. He says that is the sending of a message by the hand of a fool. Right? Just giving the message by a hand of a fool. And this is where you just let somebody just speak just to speak. You know what I mean? They're a person that just wants to talk. And if you say, I need you to spread this message, you already failed. So you're right, the presenter is very important also. Because you got some people that can speak well. I'm definitely not one of them. But if they're not speaking God's message, you already blew it. Brilliant speakers who say foolish things. And he says, the same as you cutting off the thing that's getting you where you want, or the person who reacts solely off of anger and violence and things of that sort. They start trouble. Look at them in their speeches. Look how they teach people. And we let them be what represents us. Secondly, like a lame man's leg that hangs limp. Okay. In other words, his leg is worthless. He can't do anything. Okay. He says it hangs limp, is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. So if I give this word of God, right, to a fool, it just became worthless out of his or her mouth, is what it's saying. Right? I can't just give them the Bible. And I've seen this many times in which they'll just say something that they think they're speaking out the Bible. And they just messed it up. Totally messed it up. Right? And they destroyed it for others. And they're speaking as they have wisdom. I read the Bible. I know this. I told you the person who tried to write a book on, I'm going to, if I were trying to live based on what the Bible, here it is. And they were mixing Old Testament, New Testament, and they didn't know what this meant. And they added this. It was very foolish. A Christian would have caught on to that. But the people of the world are like, and they wrote it, and they tried to do it, and you can't do it. So the Bible's not this. And if you would have started an argument with those people, you would have been a fool. The answer is going, okay, of course they're not going to get it. They're not spiritually discerning. They're not having that knowledge through the Spirit of God that they need to have. You can go to all the colleges, read all the books you want. If you are not living by the Spirit, you will never get the word. Please know that. Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. Remember, you lay the stone in a sling, so when you swing it around, it will shoot off. But if I tie it in there, you'll swing, or even a slingshot, you'll pull back and it'll go forward, but the stone's still attached to it. That sounds stupid, the purpose of it. But he's saying that's when you give honor to a fool. And we tend to do that too. There are a lot of people out here that we're giving accolades to and we're holding up high, and you know they're not godly. So what are you doing? Why are Christians participating in that? And they'll give a foolish answer. I don't get it. Right? I'm wide open for people who pick certain people to represent them. Amen? And you're supposed to be a Christian, and they're now making you look bad, but you're honoring them. It says a lot. Verse 9 says, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand. I think you know what that means. You know what I mean? I mean, they're all stabbed up. They're not being careful. They don't know how to be careful because they lack self-control. Is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. So it's the same thing as this proverb is doing something stupid as stopping your purpose in the sling. And in this way, you're actually being destroyed by things you should be protected by. They won't know how to present it. They won't know when to present it. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. And what it means by that, archers are supposed to be very careful. They know what they're aiming at, and they hit it. Okay, but when it says he wounds at random, it's one that's very careless. Picks up the arrow, shoots it off. There you go, somebody's hit. And it wasn't what they were aiming at. It says the same thing as when you hire a fool or any passerby. There's a lot of people who have businesses, and the business could have lasted, but you, for a lower price, hired fools. A lot of the ones that are leading your companies, fools. A lot of people you depend on, fools. You start dating and want to marry, fools. And then you wonder, why is this happening? And the question I have to ask sometimes is, am I the fool? What was my decision on making these decisions? As a dog returns to its vomit, I've seen that too many times, so a fool repeats his folly. And this is very common, right? Why are you back in jail for the same thing, right? Why are we getting in the same argument because of something? It's stuff that's wrong that you should have learned from, but you continue to do it. That's a fool. Foolishness can lead to an early death. So when he says this in Ecclesiastes 7:17, be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Okay? So the overly wicked, first of all, it's bad enough to be wicked. Okay, overly wicked is when you add to it and you go overboard and you just really, and you have some people that they just, everything they do is just, why would you say that? Why would you do that? I mean, they're beyond wicked. So, you know, and a lot of them, the punishment they're going to get, and those are the ones that in movies like to say, see you in hell and dumb stuff like that, or I'm not going to heaven, so I might as well have, they overdo it. They're already wicked and they really overdo it. And then he says, neither be a fool. And then watch what he says. Why should you die before your time? As the Bible shows, just with this verse, we all have a time and we can die before it. Okay? So understanding the way we can die before it is this: over wicked, and wickedness will be a whole nother sermon, but not to be a fool. Fools are asking for punishment. They basically are looking to get punished, right? It says in Proverbs 14:3, a fool's talk brings a rod to his back. Probably should have thought about it before you said that, right? I've seen people lose jobs for being fools. I've seen them destroy relationships for being fools. Stuff they didn't think about. It was just foolish. Maybe it seemed funny at the time. Maybe you didn't think about it. And that's why it says a fool's brings a rod to his back. You're going to get punished for it. Right? And this is why when kids are younger and they do or act or respond or say foolish, it is our responsibility to punish, to teach them that was foolish. You understand that? You want them to understand the difference between being wise and being a fool. And it says, but the lips of the wise protect them. Why? Because those lips will know when to say something, not only if to say something, it'll also know how to say something. There, some people, I know silence is a very important thing, but there are sometimes you should have said something, and that makes you unwise. Bible shows us that of when we're supposed to do it. If I'm just quiet because I'm complacent, my silence may give off the image. Like I said, a fool even seems wise when they're silent. But if your silence is due to something else other than God, the godly wisdom, then now you're back to being a fool. And you get punished. Have you ever done something? People say, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you say anything? Communication is a very important part of us communicating, talking. But we got to know how. We got to know when. We got to think of things that quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Fools are dangerous with money. They're not good with it. And unfortunately, the majority of the world actually, the majority of those who handle money in the world are fools based on the Bible. Once again, Proverbs 17:16 says, of what use is money in the hand of a fool? What use is it? Because they don't understand, I can spend all this. How do you, and I hate to say it, I'm being very careful because a lot of people in sports who make millions end up being broke. Now, only reason is because they're not taught to be wise. They're taught to be winners, right? So where a wise man would look at a business and go, no, I'm taking too big of a chance, that's not wise. You'll get a winner going, give me the biggest challenge out there and watch me beat it. Now, as brilliant as that sounds, it's really not wise. You see what I'm saying? That's what it says. You give them money, they'll overgive. They'll give outside of their budget. They just won't manage it correctly. And we are required to deal with our money correctly. Or even reverse, they'll hoard it. We read a whole chapter in James 5, or a whole section that gives us on what's going to happen to those who hoard it. He was like, it's going to testify against you. And it says, since he has no desire to get wisdom. So the only way around that, you're like, okay, how do I know when to spend? How do I know when to get God's wisdom? There's a whole sermon I did on Christian finances. And the Bible just really breaks it. It shows us how to invest. It shows us when to give. It shows us what to invest in. It just gives us so much information. Unfortunately, we still follow, you know, it's tax season right now, and you're getting robbed either which way you look at it. You understand? Rich are getting richer, and everybody else is considered poor. Even though we're still rich, you know what I mean? Especially the middle class. But you're just watching stuff happen. We kind of support that nonsense. And I think it happens in every administration, every group, and we have way more than enough money for us to be in debt. But when all this comes down to it, we then fall under the foolish aspect of it when we kind of participated in how we spend money, what we spend money on, and what we don't spend money on. And I'll be very clear, the Bible's very clear about this, and we talked about it on the Order by Steps and in the sermon. If there's a lot of people who don't have, and it's because I'm foolishly spending on nonsense, I'm going to have to answer for that, right? Watch your lives, know and understand that. And finally, foolish children bring grief to parents. Don't we all know that? And this is Proverbs 17:21. To have a fool for a son brings grief. It's something that's going to happen. That's why you raise them not to do that, but you're going to struggle. Going to struggle. There is no joy for the father of a fool. That says it all. I don't have to give any explanation to that. So that's why you raise them. But if I raise them for any type of worldliness, right, to be successful, to be happy, to be accepted. I can go down the list of all these things. You're raising a fool. Only right way is when I raise them godly. Think about that. Questions? All right. Good. All right. Praise God. Like I said, it's a
I
lot
have
of
a
stuff.
question.
Oh, yes. Hey, sis. How
I'm
you doing?
doing okay. My question is this. It says you were talking about fools are emotionally driven. I tend to not try to be emotionally driven, so I've been accused of being stoic at times.
Okay.
And so, because I try to not express my emotions based off of my thought processes. I think a lot. You understand what I mean?
Yep.
And so trying to filter and gain clarity.
Amen.
And so in doing that, I don't express. And trying to seek understanding and see it from the other person's perspective. And at times I'm not sure if that's wise or not. So I don't know what else to say about that. So
The concept,
what is
that
that?
you're doing is wise. How it's being expressed may not be, if that makes sense. So in other words, I'm changing it to where I really need to think of something. I want to say that. I want to say, hey, give me some time. Let me ponder that. Let me digest that. Let me take that in. Or I'll answer you. I really need to think about that. You
Okay,
understand?
so what happens when the other receiver doesn't receive that because they're like pushing.
They
They
want an answer.
want something, and I don't know what to tell them besides I don't have an answer. I
Right.
just
So gently say, I apologize. I don't want to be hasty and give the wrong answer. I want to make sure I'm truly thinking about it in the Lord. And even if they don't, you kind of keep with that. But and also the demeanor and how it's presented is so important. You want to always be gentle and loving when you say it. So as upset as they may get, because unfortunately people are going to demand things their way. I want to hear from you, and I want to hear from you now. And you talk, I'm going to give it to you, but please, I rather think it through. I don't want to push my emotions into it. I don't want to be hasty in what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And sometimes they won't, and that's when you just go out. You repeat that same answer as gently as possible. But you will get those that will push you, because we're in a world right now, and I've had that many times where people, no, tell me how you feel. Tell me what you know what I mean? Like, you got to tell me how you feel. And I'm like, that's the problem. How I feel is not in line with what God says. All right. And I tell them, so give me some time to make sure I'm thinking of this in the spirit. I'm not thinking of this in Keith. I'm eliminating Keith. And I try to explain that part as much as possible. But you're right. Some are not going to get it. But you just repeat it again and do it very lovingly. Try not to give irritation to their irritation, if that makes sense. Right? I think when we show patience in their irritation and we show that love, you have a better chance of calming them down and hoping they'll get it. But just make sure, and I tell everybody this, if I say I'm going to talk about it, make sure we talk about it. You know what I mean? You know, me and my wife used to have this, and I think all couples had this, but I'm using me and my wife when we, especially younger in our relationship, we would get mad at something and we'd say, okay, we're going to talk about this later. What would end up happening is we argue about it later because we never talked about it later. You see what I'm saying? It was something that we were angry about, we just let it linger. And because the argument stopped, what we ended up doing was let it go away. Oh, okay, but it was not solved. You know, and it's like having some sort of problem in your body, and you know you have that problem, but you don't do anything about it. And then later on, the doctor goes, I wish you would have came in earlier. And that's what we don't want to do, right? We want to be wise about how we're doing it. So I think the way you're handling it, and you're, like I said, you're pondering, just explain that. Just say, hey, give me some time. I really want to be right. I want to present the right thing in here. And I really want to be, and be careful not even just say, I want to be right. I want to be within the God's will. I want to follow what God's saying. You're presenting to them. I want to make sure I'm giving what I'm supposed to in the Lord, not what I think. Amen.
Sounds good. Amen.
And that's a tough one. Others, a lot of people go through that, believe it or not. But what we want to make sure as Christians we don't do is we don't want to show our heat to their heat, either which way. You know what I mean? If they get frustrated, we don't get angry. No, we still lovingly say, I hear you. I'm so sorry. I know you want an answer now, but give me some time, please. You know what I mean? And we're going and we're being gentle, you know, instead of, you need to be patient, man, getting on my nerve. No, we don't want to do that. Okay. We got to be careful to make sure we're lovingly presenting it. And the more we do that, we show that compassion, we show that love, we show that self-control. You'd be surprised how that does a lot more.
Well, isn't that quick to listen, slow to speak?
Yes, it is, dear.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. And my wife said, I can't call her Sister Lisa anymore. I have to call her Sister Baby. Y'all know who I'm referring to. So there you go. And that's okay with me. So, but that's absolutely right. The Bible gives us on communication and understanding that stuff, right? So the quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry is a much bigger communication. I mean, that's one of the verses in the Bible that's so large within itself. If we really listen to it, you'd be surprised it would solve a lot of communication problems. But we don't because of the emotions, because of the feelings. Hey, sister, baby.
So if she's speaking to someone, or the person that's talking to her, asking her to answer, is a Christian, can she say that, like, I understand that you want an answer from me, but I'm really trying to abide by quick to listen, slow to speak. So I have to digest this a little bit before I can say something, because I'm going to say something emotionally when I shouldn't, because then it might cause more issues.
And that's a good point. If they're a Christian, you can use more scripture in that case. It'll be better to go because, just like you said, because the Bible says I got to be quick to listen, slow to speak, I'm doing exactly that. So just give me some time to do it. When they're a non-Christian, is when you just use the I want to make sure I'm saying the right thing. I don't want to cause any more harm or confusion. So you know, you're planting a seed on that one, but they can't discern scripture when you're throwing it at them. But that's absolutely right. You deal with both unbelievers and believers with this, but the one you can explain deeper because hopefully their focus is the same, and that's God's word. So, yes, good point. Thank you. Other questions? All right. Praise God. Thank you all. Please check me on all these. There's a lot of Proverbs in there, and a huge chunk of it, as you can see, is to describe the fool. I really encourage you to go back and whatever you need to do to jot it down to understand what a fool is. Don't just let it be one of those that we go through and you say amen and you move on, but you're still, you know, allowing foolishness, you're accepting foolish people, or you're being a fool yourself. That's going to be on us when he provides us all this information. So make sure we go through these. There's a lot of these passages the Bible gives that you're going to have to continue to repeat to make sure it just becomes automatic to you. All right, we will go ahead and pray out, and I pray that you guys all have a great rest of your week. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for warning us in every case that you do. Thank you so much for your spirit, for understanding and guidance. And we just ask you, dear God, in your patience and your mercy and your grace, to continue to guide us to have that same mercy and that same patience and grace with others, dear God. We know it's very easy for us to allow our flesh to make us react. We always want to react in your spirit, walking in such a way, like I said, we're encouraging those in the body and that we're ministering to those who are not. We know the time is short, so let us live with an urgency and stop looking based on self and self-comfort, but to do things that honor you in every way. Before that day of your return, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, Amen. Love you, family. Have a great night.
Thank you.